It is the month that nationally we also have what we have historically, traditionally called Thanksgiving Day. So it has been our practice as we enter the month of Thanksgiving to begin really focusing on thankfulness. Amen. We are always charged to be thankful, but in November, we really try to drive home this idea, this mindset of you and I intentionally being thankful. And that is because we must be anchored in reality and truth. We live in a world, in a society whereby everything is commercialized, and we sometimes lose the essence of the true meaning of a particular day. Amen. And so we never want to be caught in that place of the only reason we are having a thankful moment is because it's on the calendar. We always want to be at the place of we are thankful because God has been good to us. Amen. Because we understand that God is good and that his love endures forever. Because of that, we are just perpetually thankful. Amen. And we don't want our thankfulness to just be tied up in that thing of when something good happens, what I perceive to be good, that's when I'm really thankful. We want to have the kind of mindset that recognizes that just as the song recorded or played earlier, our God reigns. And because our God reigns, we can learn how to be thankful in every situation and in every circumstance. Amen. So today, I want to begin the month of November talking about cultivating a life overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. We want to cultivate a life that is overflowing with thankfulness. If you could turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We want to bring attention to verses 6 through 8. Colossians chapter 2, a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And we want to look initially in our reading at verses 6 through 8. Colossians happens to be what is referred to as one of the prison letters written by Paul, meaning that this letter was written while Paul was under arrest. We're talking about the persecuted church. Well, Paul, too, was a man who was persecuted for carrying the good news of Jesus Christ. But he did not allow his arrest. He did not allow his persecutions to stop him from declaring the unsearchable riches of God. Everywhere Paul went, he had to tell folk about Jesus. It didn't matter if he was in chains. He had to tell them, I'm in chains. Let me tell you what I did. I talked about Jesus. So he took every moment and every opportunity to talk about Jesus, but also while they're confined, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he wrote letters to encourage the very churches that he had taken the gospel to. And so on today, we will look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. If you found that, can you go ahead and stand to your feet? And we're going to read this together. Amen. You hold your place in your Bible, your device, and if you would fix your eyes on the screen, we will read it together from the version that is recorded there. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. Let's read together. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Father, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word, which is alive and active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that God, during this time together, that Lord, you would speak to us with clarity. Father, I pray that you will anoint my tongue with grace and truth, and that, Lord, you will make it like the pen of a ready writer. God, I pray that, Lord, the ears, God, of your people will be ready to hear, Lord, what you choose to say. And God, I pray that, Lord, our hearts will be made ready to receive, God, your word. And then, God, help us to produce a crop that is 30, 60, 100-fold in keeping with your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, the people of God said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Cultivating a life overflowing with thankfulness. That word cultivate, you look it up in the dictionary, you will see several definitions. One of which says to prepare and work on in order to raise a crop. So it thinks about cultivating the land that a farmer must work on. He must prepare the land, the field, in order to raise a crop. You can't sow seed on unplowed field and expect it to take root and grow. You've got to cultivate the land. Another one of those definitions says it is to promote or improve the growth of by labor and attention. Cultivate, to promote or improve the growth by labor and attention. So if we're talking about cultivating a life overflowing with thanksgiving, if you're going to cultivate that kind of life, you've got to do a little bit of labor on your part. It doesn't just happen. Amen? That if you want growth, you've got to labor at it and you've got to give it some attention. Amen? Can I tell you that being thankful or having a thankful attitude doesn't just happen. It ain't natural. You actually have to be trained or you have to be taught. Thankfulness is something that you teach. Amen. We see that with our children, right? Someone gives them something, whether it's a cookie, whether it is an icy or whatever. What will you say to them? Say thank you. Because if you don't, that little one will receive what you have offered and they will take off and go about their business and they will eat it without ever acknowledging what you have done. So you've got to teach them, you've got to train them how to be thankful. Let me give you another word that you will find. If you look up cultivate in the dictionary, it says to develop are improved by education or training. So you're cultivating, you're educating yourself, you're training yourself. And so in our application, it means that you're becoming more and more educated about what thankfulness is. You are improving yourself by learning more of what it looks like. Now, I have two more, and these last two are the ones that for me, I really like. Because one of them says to cultivate means to devote yourself. To devote yourself to a particular thing. If you were to think about Simone Biles, you would say that she was devoted to becoming a world-class gymnast. Amen? If you were to think about R.J. Forney, you would say he was devoted to becoming a three-point marksman. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But it's the idea of you're devoting yourself to a particular art, science, or skill, and you're investing the time and energy in it so that you become skilled at it. So in other words, you and I, when we talk about cultivating a life overflowing with thankfulness, we need to become so devoted to recognizing things and expressing thankfulness that we become skilled at it. We're in the middle of stuff. We see stuff that other folk have missed because we have trained our minds. We've trained our eyes to recognize things that we ought to be grateful for. And then we learn how to express gratitude in the midst of it. You've got to be devoted to it. And then you've got to seek to promote and to foster an idea of thankfulness and gratitude. So during the month, this month of November, we want to talk about this idea of cultivating a life that is overflowing with thankfulness. As the rain comes down, and as you and I were receiving notices that there's a flood watch that's coming, it was an indication that there was going to be lots of water that would come down. And in some places, it would come down so fast that the drainage system, the ditches, would not be able to displace that water from the hard surfaces. And what would happen is that they would fill up and then overflow or spill over into places where you don't want them to be. Sometimes on streets and highways. Unfortunately, sometimes even in the home. But it's the idea that the water was coming in such proportions, the water was coming at such a rate that it was going to overflow and impact something else. Brothers and sisters, that's the kind of thankfulness that you and I need to have. That we need to be at that place of where our lives are overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. If we can get to that place, it's going to be amazing, because when you are surrounded by folks who are grumpy all the time, if your life is overflowing with thankfulness, you're going to drown out their grumpiness. Ooh. Listen, I'm trying to help somebody. Somebody in your house wake up thinking that they were the ones that woke themselves up. They woke up, and as Pastor Roland would say, eating on what? Looking like they eating on soda crackers. Is that what it was? Sucking on lemons and chewing on soda crackers. Face just toe up. God done kept you through the night, has allowed you to see a new day, and you can't even say good morning when you get up. You mad because you got to get out of bed. You didn't think about the fact that you had a bed to sleep in. But you mad because it's time to get up. But if your life is overflowing with thanksgiving, you'll learn how to greet that knucklehead. And what's coming out of you will splash off on them. And you won't allow their foul attitude to infect you. Instead, you will become the one who will wash and purify and make your atmosphere worthy of the God who has been good to you. Amen? And so if you and I can learn how to cultivate a life that is overflowing with thanksgiving, it might mess around and splash on everybody that we come in contact with. Now, that's a good thing. You can learn how to do that kind of thing. You know, thankfulness then is an attitude, or it's a feeling that is expressed and demonstrated by specific behavior. When you're thankful, you have an attitude, you have a feeling that is expressed and demonstrated through specific behavior. You know thankful people when you see them. Amen? Why? Because they have certain behavior that is characteristic of being grateful. That's how you recognize them. You don't recognize thankful people because they quiet. You recognize thankful people because of the things they say and what they do. Amen? You do something for somebody and they receive what you've done and they walk away like you ain't done nothing for them. That ain't a thankful person. Here's why. Because people are not generally thankful for things they feel they are owed or they deserve. When you got a person who is entitled, they have a problem expressing thankfulness. When they feel like, oh, you owe me, why am I gonna say thank you for what you owe me? And sometimes that's what you and I experience. We come in contact with people who feel like we owe them our smile. No, you blessed that I smiled at you. Because if you knew how you look, and if I looked at you the way you were looking at me, but I smile at you and say good morning, and you gonna look at me like I owed you my smile and my greeting. Don't you know that you are about to be blessed? Because out of the mouth of this anointed tongue comes blessing. And if you learn how to receive my greeting like I didn't owe it to you, there is something else that will follow. Oh, wait a minute, I said I, but don't think I'm trying to put myself in this category all by myself, because you too are anointed priest of God. You too have tongues that have the power of life and death. You too have been called to proclaim and speak blessing in people's life. And just like they turn you away, they missing out on a blessing. Why? Because they are ungrateful individuals. And when they could have been receiving more, their ingratitude robs them of the blessing that God wanted to give. The Bible says this: you need to be careful how you entertain strangers. You need to be careful how you treat people. He said, because you may just be entertaining an angel. And if you are an ungrateful person, you don't know how to entertain people well. But when your life is overflowing with thankfulness, man, you become that expression that allows that if you are ministering or being visited by an angel, you allow that angel to speak God's word in your life. Wouldn't it be a shame if God sent an angel to you, but because you were so ungrateful that the angel had to go back and tell God, did you send me to the right address? Now, God, I know you don't make mistakes, but when I showed up at this house, surely. But when you and I maintain this attitude of gratitude, when we allow our lives to overflow with thankfulness, it prepares us to receive what God wants to give. And it prepares us then to give how God wants us to bless others. So you and I, as we are working through the month of November, we need to be cultivating, preparing, and working on our hearts so that we have a crop that is producing thankfulness. We need to be promoting and improving our growth by labor and attention so that we are growing up in thankfulness. And we need to make sure that we are devoting ourselves to saying, God, whatever I do, I want to make sure that I am a thankful person. Amen. And this text that we read today It is just one place of many in this little letter that has four chapters where Paul talks about giving thanks or having this attitude of thanks. I want to encourage you this week to read through the book of Colossians. It's short enough that you can read it in one setting, which means that if you choose to do so, and if you read it this week, you can read it over and over. Here's what I encourage is first you sit down and read all four chapters. That's your first setting. Read all four chapters. And then you come back and begin to read one chapter at a time. So for Monday, your reading assignment is read the book of Colossians, all four chapters. On Tuesday, your reading assignment is read chapter one of the book of Colossians. On Tuesday, chapter two. Wednesday, chapter three. Thursday, chapter four. On Friday, you are to take your reading and the notes that you scribbled as you were reading chapter one, two, three, and four. Did I get my days right? Did I mess it up? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Was it Friday? Okay, Friday is chapter four. Okay. I was seeing if you was paying attention. Not really, I messed up. But you know what I was saying, right? Amen. Monday, the entire book. And then each consecutive day, one chapter out of the book. Thank you, brother. And then as you're reading it, you're highlighting and you're noting as the Spirit of God is speaking to you and showing you some important things about this life overflowing with thankfulness. Then you are to take and compile your notes because they will become a part of your cultivating your own life so that it overflows with thankfulness. Amen. 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 So in chapter two, though, there are some interesting things that Paul says at verses 6-8. Go back to verse 6 for us, if you will. It said, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. As a first note of thank you, or this idea of your life overflowing with thankfulness, is the person Jesus Christ. Don't ever take for granted your receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't ever let that grow dull in your life that God chose you, he spoke to you, and you responded favorably to God's call. Because what you and I see is there are many people who have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, but have yet rejected him. It is a wonderful thing that your heart was conditioned and ready to receive the message of Jesus Christ when you received it. For what it brought to you was new life. For everyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Amen? The old stuff has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Everyone who is in Christ Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. Not just one of your sins, all of your sins. Wow. Yes, all of them. Amen. And according to God, from his perspective, he threw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them or bring them up to you again, unless he's trying to deal with something that you stuck in. Amen. He never brings it to you in the form of condemnation, but always in the form of salvation and sanctification, saying that that is not who you are. You may have been that before, but now in Christ Jesus, you are that no longer. You are no longer a liar, you are a truth teller. Amen? Amen. So he speaks to you in terms of who you are. You may be acting out of who you were, and he has to remind you, that is not you anymore. I snatched you out of that, I delivered you from that, and I brought you into a new identity in Christ Jesus. And so when you and I start thinking about things of which we can give thanks about, listen, you receive Christ Jesus, and he says your job is to continue to live in him. One of the ways you continue to live in him is by being thankful for what he has done, thankful for how he has rescued you, thankful that he didn't kick you to the curb, that he saved you. And you're thankful when the enemy of your soul tries to remind you of how you used to be. You're thankful that God rescued you. And you can say to the enemy of your soul, you can accuse me all you want to, but I'm going to be acquitted because the bill has been paid in full. And your heart then overflows with thankfulness while the enemy is trying to get you depressed about who you used to be, while the enemy is trying to get you depressed because you slipped up and fell. No, you get up and you're reminded that God has redeemed me. He has saved me and he has rescued me. And while he was trying to depress you, you all happy and rejoicing. Thank God that I've been saved. Thank God that I have been delivered. And when I mess up, I know how to repent. When I offend, I know how to ask for forgiveness. When I do something that I don't have anybody, any business doing to someone else, I know how to go to that individual and say to them, I am sorry. Can you forgive me? Because I don't have to worry about condemnation. Amen. I'm thankful to be in Christ. He says, continue to live in him. So know that you are in Christ. And check this out. Christ is in you. Oh, that's good. Oh, okay. It's good to me. It's good to me to know that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. He who is in me is what? Greater than he who is in the world. So there is no weapon that comes against me that is going to be able to prosper. There is no enemy that will stand up against me that I can't defeat. Why? Because the living Christ is in me. And when I stand up and I get ready to do battle, I ain't doing battle by myself. I got help. In the hands that reach out to deal with my enemy is much bigger than these small hands that I got. And if I just go through the motion, he'll do the rest. And so I get excited to know that I'm in Christ, and Christ is also in me. So he says, continue to live in him. Don't forget who you are. You receive Christ. Don't you reject Christ. You invited him to be Lord over your life. Not just Lord on Sunday. He's Lord Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Did I get those right? Hallelujah. 7 days a week. Wait a minute. Not just 7 days a week, but 24/7. He is Lord. Our God reigns because he is Lord. Amen. So you and I learn to live in him and continue in him because we have acknowledged him as Lord. Look at what it says in verse 7. And then it says, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. You and I, in Christ Jesus, we are rooted. You know what that means, right? Work with that, girl. You what? You connected? Oh, you what? You planted in the ground. My. Planted. Established. Come on now. Come on now. Anchored. Oh, my goodness. I hope y'all getting this. Huh? You are rooted, planted in the ground, established, anchored. He says you are rooted in Christ and built in him. Wait a minute, let me say that again, because I want to make sure you get this. You want to make sure that you're rooted in the right place, that you're being built up in the right one. You're rooted in Christ. Hey! You can drain say 66 books, not 67. Amen? Amen. Because some folk, y'all know this to be true, they've been reading that 67th book. And you be like, what? Where you get that from? But you and I, remember, we are rooted in Christ. We are built up in Christ. All other things, what? All other ground is what? Sinking sand. If you're rooted in something other than Christ, let me tell you now, it will not stand. He is the only one that will endure time. Why? Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator of life, and he is the one who sustains life. Everything is rooted and anchored in Christ. If you've got your roots, or if you're rooted in anything other than Christ, look out. That thing gonna fall apart. And the way you and I become rooted and built up in Christ is by standing upon his word. Jesus said it this way, anyone who hears these words of mine and you put them into action, you are like a person who has built your life on a firm foundation, on a solid rock. And he says that when the winds come, when the storms come, when they blow against you, they may blow against you, but they won't destroy you. They won't knock your house down because your life is being built on the word of God. Your life is being built in Jesus Christ. He warns you and me. Paul says, don't you fall for that mess of the folk trying to sail. They got swamp land that they trying to sell you at a good price. Don't you buy that stuff. Philosophies that they think will tickle your ears and will draw you. He says, no, don't you buy that stuff. You are to be rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. Strengthened in the faith you were taught. So first was what? Continue to live in Christ. Second is being rooted and built up in Christ. Third is being strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Now, Paul is talking to the Colossians believers, but he also says at the end of this book, as you will discover on tomorrow when you read all four chapters, that he says that you then are to take this letter. After you've read this letter, you are now to pass this letter over to the Laodicean church, the folks over at Laodicea, so that they too can read that letter that I sent you. And oh, by the way, I sent them a letter too, and I want you to get the letter that I sent to them, and you bring it back and you read it among your group of believers. So Paul had gone back. He had taken the gospel of Jesus Christ to these believers in Laodicea, as well as to the believers in Colossae. And now he is writing them a letter to encourage them to stay in the faith. Paul says that I want you to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Paul is now going back to what he taught them. Paul said, when I showed up, I taught you nothing but Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, raised from the dead, the one who came to redeem mankind, to reconcile lost men and women back to the Father through his shed blood. He said, that's what I taught you. He said, I taught you that Jesus is real. What Jesus went through was real. You remember the portion of scripture that we read at the beginning for communion? It's out of Colossians chapter 1. Starts at about verse number 15. You'll read this when you read it tomorrow. And then you'll read it again on Tuesday when you go to chapter 1. But at verse 15, Paul begins to describe who Jesus is. Why? Because he's saying, stay in what you were taught. Strengthen your faith in what you were taught. Right? So he says to them at verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Paul suddenly begins to remind them again that Jesus was fully God, fully man. That Jesus was full of deity, the Son of God, but he was also Mary's baby. Amen? That Jesus had all of the characteristics of God, holy and righteous, but he also had this flesh that you and I have. He was fully human. And Paul was teaching them that God chose to send a man to redeem mankind because that's the only way that it could be done. And he was teaching them that, listen, what Jesus did, he is going to equip you to also do. What did Jesus do? He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. And he was saying that, listen, because Christ is in you, what he did, you shall also be able to do. He said, so you need to be strengthened in the faith that you were taught, that you can put your hope in Christ and you can know that he will be with you in the midst of trouble. And then he says this at the end of that. He says all of that so that Christ can have supremacy in your life. In other words, you need to make Jesus number one. All of that, he says this, you need to make Jesus number one. That he is above all things. He doesn't play second fiddle to anybody. And if there is anybody, any entity that you've elevated above Jesus, he says you need to fix that and get it straight. Because anything that or anyone that you elevate above Jesus, all of a sudden now you are living in idolatry. Because he says that he is number one, first place, King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the heavens and the earth, him and him alone must have supremacy. Why? Because he created all things and all things were created for him, including you. And so he says, be strengthened in your faith to know that God created you for Christ Jesus. And if he created you for Christ Jesus, he's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to take care of you. And he's going to make sure that whatever purpose he had for your life will be fulfilled because he is going to be with you. He said, be strengthened in your faith, in the faith that you were taught. Don't allow some false stuff to come in your way. Make Jesus first. Wow. And then he said, if you do these things, then your life will be overflowing with thanksgiving. That's what it says in verse 7. Your life will be overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, it is interesting that Paul, who I told you wrote this letter, this is one of his prison letters. Paul did not allow prison to rob him of telling others to rejoice in the Lord and to be thankful. In fact, in Philippians, the book of Philippians, which is the book that comes just before Colossians, in that book, Paul says it, rejoice in the Lord. He was in jail when he said this. He says, I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to everybody because you know that the Lord is near. It is in that particular book, remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul says this, don't you be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, with what? Say it loud. With thanksgiving. Don't be scared. Come on. Come on now. If you know it, say it. With thanksgiving, he says, make your requests known to God. Paul did not allow difficult circumstances to stop him from being thankful, nor did he allow difficult circumstances to stop him from encouraging other folks to be thankful. Paul, in the middle of going to jail, locked up, chained up, but still he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Paul, you in jail. How you gonna tell me I need to rejoice? How you gonna tell me to make my request known to God? Paul, did you make your request known to God? Look like to me, you still in jail, Paul. Paul said, but you missed it. The Lord is near. God knows where I am. There is no place that I can go that God doesn't know where I am. And because God knows where I am and God authorized my arrest, I can be right here in jail, locked up and saying to you, rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all because God is near. What am I trying to tell you? That it's not just in good times when you are thankful. It's in any time that you are thankful. Thessalonians says, rejoice in the Lord in all circumstances. Give thanks unto the Lord in all circumstances. Not just the good stuff, but in everything. Why? Because you understand that whatever circumstances that you are in, God has allowed you to be in that circumstance. You understand that wherever you are, God sees you. And if God sees you, don't you know that God is able to deliver you? If God sees you, don't you know that God can rescue you? Oh, excuse me. Acts chapter 12. You remember Acts chapter 12? Oh, man. Listen, y'all gonna have to start reading your Bible. Acts chapter 12, King Herod has gotten this attitude about him being bold and in control. And so he starts killing saints. He kills James, the brother of John. And then when the people get excited about it, he arrests a guy by the name of Peter. You remember Peter? Peter was that? He arrests Peter and put him in jail. And he says that, oh, they excited about that. I'm going to kill Peter because Peter is really the leader of the church. So Peter is arrested. And when Peter gets arrested, the folks, the church people, the believers, they gather together and they start praying for Peter. They are at somebody's house praying for Peter. Peter is arrested. He's got chains on his ankles. He's got chains on his arms. And Peter has been arrested. He's been shackled and they've got the cell door locked. Everybody else is praying for Peter. Peter has gone and grabbed a pillow. Wait a minute, Peter, you arrested. How you gonna grab a pillow and go to sleep? Peter, sleep. Because Peter knows wherever I am, God knows where I am. Whatever I'm going through, God already knows about it. And he says, I'm gonna just allow myself to rest right here and whatever you gonna do, you gonna do. But while the believers are praying, God sends an angel to visit Peter. Peter is asleep, and the angel walks into the cell. Boy, wake up. Peter was in a deep sleep.
pushing me. Boy, I said, wake up. Peter wakes up. He said, put your clothes on. Peter gets up. He puts his clothes on. And then the angel starts to unlock stuff and open doors and stuff, and Peter is walking out. Peter thinks he's in a dream until he gets out, and he hears the door clack behind him, and the angel who escorted him out disappears. Why? Because God can rescue you no matter where you are. That means that your life must overflow with thankfulness, not just in the good times, not just when things seem to be going your way. Your life needs to overflow with thankfulness in all circumstances and in all situations, because your God sees you. He knows where you are, and your God has the capability to deliver you. Listen, God allows trouble to come your way sometimes. A few Sundays back, the pastor that was here, Reverend Paul, preached about suffering. He said suffering was a part of life, didn't he? He says that in this world, you're going to have trouble. He says that just because you have trouble, don't think that God is not there with you or involved in your life. He says suffering is going to come because it is a part of life. The word of God talks about you and I will suffer and experience difficulties. And when those difficulties come, don't get too upset about them coming. Just ask the question, what is God doing in my life? What is God doing with my life? What is it that God wants to do with this circumstance? Why? Because nothing comes your way without God's permission. And if it makes it to you, God can see you through it. Amen? And with that right mindset, you learn how to cultivate a life that is overflowing with thankfulness, because you are learning to look to God and to not your trouble, not your situation, because you know that God uses all things for your good and for his glory. Now, if you didn't write that down, you need to write that down, because you're going to have to tell yourself, God uses everything for my good and for his glory. And when you learn how to remember that, you begin to look at life through a different lens. It might hurt, it might be painful, but if God uses everything for my good and for his glory, this hurt that I'm going through, this pain that I'm going through, he's going to use it so that his name is glorified, and so that I am strengthened, and so that I am able to stand against the test of time and represent him well, so that I can be a witness, a light in dark places, so I can tell others about an amazing God who does amazing things. So in the midst of trouble, I can say to others, rejoice, because I can comfort them with the comfort that I have received. Because I know about who God is, and I know that God has the power to deliver no matter how strong the resources are that has come against me. He's Jehovah Jireh. And I only know that when I've been through some stuff. Amen. Oh, y'all. I know y'all don't want to go through no stuff. Listen. I'm the first one to say, just give me the blessing without taking me through the stuff. Here's the problem. If I just get the blessing without going through the stuff, I won't be able to handle the responsibility that comes with the blessing. If I want to be able to stand up and represent the King of Kings well, I've got to be adequately prepared to be able to handle it. Amen? And if I have a life that is overflowing with thanksgiving, that means when adversity and trouble comes my way, that God is taking me, and through it, he is making me strong. You remember what James said in James chapter 1? Count it all joy when various trials come your way. You remember that? He said that because of what your trials, he said if you persevere, right, you're going to be strengthened. In fact, Paul said it in Romans chapter 5. He said, when trouble comes your way, when that stuff, he said, again, count it joy. Why? Because when you go through that stuff with the right attitude, God uses it to make you strong.
There's a story. There's a story, an article that was written about this place in at the University of Arizona. It's called the Biosphere 2. Biosphere 2. It's a place that is basically like a mini Earth. So they created the conditions in this sphere such that those conditions are like the Earth's conditions. And they're looking at various things that are happening. Someone who was doing a research project noticed that the trees in that particular system, in the Biosphere 2 system, grew much, much faster than they did outside of the system. So the trees were growing, and they were growing fast. But there was a problem. After the trees had gotten a certain height, they couldn't stand up. They would fall down. And it was puzzling the people who were doing the research because they said, man, everything is here that needs to be here. They had light, soil, water, and all the other things that you would think would make the tree happy enough to grow. The tree had all the conditions of happiness, but as it grew up, when it reached a certain height, it couldn't stand. Somebody finally figured out it's because there is no wind in the Biosphere 2. They had good soil, they had light, they had water, but they didn't have any adversity. They didn't have any wind. Here's what happens. It says the wind keeps the trees constantly moving. And that turns out to be stressful for the tree. So the wind is making the tree move, but the tree is experiencing stress. So it says, like, to be bent and pushed back and forth all the time, that's stressful. Oh, some of y'all been there. Huh? Some of y'all done had some stress in your life. And it ain't comfortable, is it? When stress comes your way, it don't feel good. That's what the tree goes through when that wind is hitting against it. It's going back and forth. But it says it is stressed in a good way because the trees in response grow something that is called stress wood. You and I need some stress wood in our lives. Amen. Can I tell you that when you face adversity and trouble with overflowing with thanksgiving, what's happening is some stress wood is being built up in your life. That when you learn how to see adversity and all of that stuff, trials as your friend, you start greeting them and welcoming them as friends, and you start living a life overflowing with thankfulness, what's happening is all that trauma is doing is making you strong in the Lord. It says stress wood has a different cellular structure than the rest of the wood in the tree. Because of that, it can shift the placement of the tree to access more light or other resources. So it's like the stress wood says, wait a minute, you need to turn this way to get some light. y'all don't want to work with me. So the stress is actually what causes the tree to seek out what it needs to survive and find a better position. And they say that's why sometimes you will see trees in those awkward shapes, some that are bent in unusual angles or even pushing up through the concrete sidewalk. It says because they have navigated or pushed themselves so that they can receive the resource that is needed. Brothers and sisters, when you and I are cultivating a life overflowing with thanksgiving and we meet
our stresses of life with thanksgiving, what is happening is we are learning how to bend toward the light that we need. Because God is light, right? When the darkness comes in and he's trying to cloud you, you learn how to navigate around that darkness so that you can see the light. And as you are navigating around that darkness, what's happening is you're becoming strong enough to grow past the darkness. When the trauma comes your way, what you do is when you greet it with thanksgiving, when you're cultivating a life overflowing with thanksgiving, what happens is when that stuff comes your way, you're seeking out, what does God have to say about this situation? What is God going to do in the middle of this situation? Whose report will I believe? I think I will believe the report of the Lord. But wait a minute, I've got to know what the report of the Lord says. God says you are a winner. God says you are an overcomer. God says that you don't have to walk this journey alone. God says I will be with you late in the midnight hour. God says I will heal you and I will restore you, that after you have suffered for a little while, I'll come and I will deliver you. God says I'll be your peace in the time of trouble. That's God's report. Whose report will you receive? When your life is overflowing with thanksgiving, you're going to be navigating around to see, how can I give God thanks for this situation? How can I say thank you to God for holding me? And if I haven't been delivered, I learn how to say, God, I thank you that your grace is sufficient to keep me. God, I thank you, Lord, that your grace holds me up, that your grace is going to see me through. Why? Because I am cultivating a life overflowing with thanksgiving, and I seek opportunities to exalt God and to tell him thank you no matter how bad the circumstances might be. And I just want to challenge you, encourage you to walk with us during the month of November as you and I cultivate a life overflowing with thanksgiving. Found in your posture, found in the way you talk, found in your behavior, your life will overflow with thanksgiving. I want to invite you to do an exercise that me and my household are going to be doing in November. Psalm 136, we're going to rewrite it and make it personal. You remember Psalm 136 says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Then there's a recurring refrain. His love endures forever. That psalm goes on to talk about some specific qualities about God, but after each one of those, it says, his love endures forever. The psalmist is remembering what God has done in his life or in the life of his people over time. And so what we're going to do is during the month of November, we're going to rewrite Psalm 136 to make it personal. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord. And then we're going to identify some good stuff that he has done for us individually. We're going to identify some good stuff that he has done for our church. We're going to identify some good stuff that he has done for our nation. We're going to identify some good things that God has revealed as we have walked with him. And we're going to rewrite the psalm to make it personal. And I want to encourage you, as you and I talk about cultivating a life that overflows with thanksgiving, join us in the exercise and rewrite the psalm so that it talks about where you are, what you've done, how God has delivered you. And so you can say, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. Say it with me. His love endures forever. Forever. Come on, one more time. His love endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can remember that his love endures forever, you're on the way of cultivating a life that is overflowing with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you today.
that God, you continue to reveal more and more of yourself to us. And you continue to walk with us so that we are not alone. And we thank you, God, that every promise that you have spoken is yes and amen in Jesus. That he is our firm foundation. That he is trustworthy. There's never been a word spoken that he cannot back up nor support. We're thankful, God, that you watch over your word and that it never, ever returns to you empty or void. But your word always accomplishes the task and the purposes for which it was sent. We're thankful, God, for your word that is alive and active in our lives, that is bringing about transformation, that is renewing us, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ, so that we walk in his authority, so that we represent him well, as we serve as both ambassadors of the kingdom and also soldiers on the battlefield. We thank you for your purpose that you've given to us. And God, we ask that, Lord, you would help us now to have a right perspective, a right view, so that we can cultivate lives that are overflowing with thanksgiving. That it will be seen, God, in our behavior. That we will be thankful, God, that you've given us a place to worship and a family to worship with. We'll demonstrate that, Lord, by coming together regularly. God, we're thankful that you've given us, God, your word. And we will demonstrate our thankfulness by reading it regularly. God, we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us the privilege to boldly approach your throne of grace. And we will demonstrate that, God, by regularly coming before you in prayer to spend time with you. Thank you, God, for loving us enough to make provision for us to be close to you and to give us purpose in this life. We thank you in the matchless, majestic name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In his name, amen.